get to our message. So I was asked last week after church, and I appreciated it, and I love it if people come and ask me certain things about the Bible, because like I said, I'm always looking for material. And I start stressing it on Sunday. What am I going to do next Sunday? And I had an individual come to me and mention 1 John chapter 4. And 1 John chapter 4, when John says anybody who believes that Jesus has come, that spirit is of God, or any spirit that believes that, it is of God. And he said, but we've been talking about what Paul says you believe. And he says, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses believe there was a Jesus. Mormons believe there was a Jesus. He said, you can read all this and it can be confusing. So I want to go there and I want to look, and this may be a controversial title a little bit, but I'm going to call it John's Gospel versus Paul's Gospel. And we believe in Paul's grace doctrines. That's what we believe. And that's what a huge part of the church, especially evangelical church, believes in. Now, we don't, all of it was written for our best interest. And we believe what's in the Bible. But if you don't rightfully divide and look at some things, it can be confusing. Very confusing. The Bible can be. It can contradict. Okay? Because you said, well, is it works or is it grace? Some say there'll be arguments on tongues. There'll be arguments on, we've spoken about free will versus predestination. That's what we've spoken about the last few weeks. There's all kind of things. The one thing that's non-negotiable is that you believe that Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to God but Jesus. And you must accept him as Savior. He has to be Savior. No other way works. Anything else we can work out. If you don't believe that, and you believe that there's another way, I'm sorry, it can't be worked out. It's non-negotiable. So, the books of Peter, James, and John were Jewish epistles written to Jewish believers. Okay? The books of John are extensions of Jesus' ministry and what I call the kingdom gospel that Jesus taught. Now, I've said this. If you follow Jesus' ministry, and we should, there's nothing in there yet in Jesus' ministry that tells you how to be saved. Okay? Not in the grace age. It's not there. I saw, and I told you last week, I saw somebody on Twitter say Elon Musk has such potential to reach the world. He said, I wish that someone would share the gospel with him and he would be saved. And he read that and answered, I believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Well, that's good. That's a start. But that doesn't save you. Okay? That does, because he's talking about the social gospel. Okay? Feeding the poor, absolutely. Turning the other cheek, absolutely. Doing good for evil, absolutely. That won't save you. Okay? You'll find nothing in the Gospels of John about the resurrection, grace through faith, or the body of Christ. It's not in there. Okay? You will find contradictions in there to Paul's teaching. Even those who mix the two will admit, and I've had people argue with me about this, and I said, can you find how to be saved in the Bible outside of Paul? And they had to say no. Okay? So how we're saved, how we come to know the Lord, Paul gives us the example. So I want to compare them. Okay? So first of all, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. My favorite verses in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15. Very familiar. 1 through 4. I'm actually going to read through 8. I shouldn't have said 1 through 4. 1 through 8. But 1 through 5 That's going to tell you what the gospel is, how you're to be saved. So before we go anything else, excuse me, how am I saved? I'm sure David's already texted me that I didn't have this on, but we got it on now. He shook his head. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when I came to know the Lord in 2000, whatever it was, 18 or 19 now, 18, you know, and I got down on my knees and prayed to the Lord in my bedroom. Even after the fact of that, it went through my mind, did I do the right thing? How do I know? Did I do it the right way? How do I know? Well, here's the explanation of how you know. Now, I make known unto you, this is Paul, brothers and sisters, the gospel, the good news, which I preach to you, which you also receive, in which you also stand, by which you are saved. So he said, I preached it, I taught it, you believed it, and because you believed it, this is how you were saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received. So remember, he received this not from man, but from the risen Christ between Acts 9 and Acts 13. We've been over this a lot. That's when he was in the desert. He was gone for 3 years, and the risen Savior presented him the Gospels and said, this is what you're going with forward. Okay, these are the mysteries. Okay, they weren't given to me, they were not handed down to me, but I gave them to you as the first importance how I received. Here's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, he fulfilled all the prophecy, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. He died for our sins. He went to the grave, and he rose again. He resurrected, and he did it physically, not just spiritually, as Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you. Okay? Physically, he was seen by hundreds. They put their hands in the nail prints. They touched his side. They did all that. He ate fish with them. All that. Okay? After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all the apostles, and last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. That's the gospel. You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he's alive. He died for my sins, a sinner. I believe that. I accept it. And I place my faith, saving faith, in that. That's how you are saved. Not through rituals. Not through these other things. Through that. Grace through faith. Okay? Now, let me say this. Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles. Jew and Gentile. But this is the first time the Gentiles, non-Jews, are involved. Okay? The first time. His ministry was to them. John's ministry was to Israel. Okay? It was directed for Jewish believers. Galatians 2:9, if you need proof. You remember in Galatians, the Jerusalem Council, also in Acts 15, where Jerusalem church had sent individuals down to tell the church in Galatia, the believers in Galatia, hey, it's not enough that you've accepted Christ. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow the commandments. You need to follow the law. Faith's not enough. You need to do this, 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 and this, and this, and you're not saved unless you do. And Paul said, that's enough of this. We're going to have it out. So he goes to Jerusalem. And they end up having an agreement that Paul will go to the Gentiles and to the 12 will go in Israel. They don't leave Jerusalem. Even after Stephen stoned and all that, and there was the believers fled Jerusalem and went all over the Roman world, the 12 stayed. That's what they were commanded to do. They stayed. Okay? This is important because the gospel of the kingdom was still under the law and the commandments, what John believed. We're under grace. And if you're not careful, you can get really, really, really confused, and so many people are. Okay? The difference was the Messiah had come. So let's go to John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 3. And these were the verses that I was asked to look at last week. And I'm glad that I was. And I want to once again thank that individual for, excuse me, for bringing up the question. Okay? And it can be confusing. 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come into the world is from God. Okay? Now, let me say this. It is important, because if you don't believe Jesus Christ has come into the world, I'm afraid you're already behind the eight ball, Ken. You're already in a tough spot here, okay? Okay, so every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming. And now it is already in the world. Now, this individual told me, and he's exactly right. He said, there are so many different religions that believe in Jesus. Okay? Not as Savior, but they believe as Jesus. And that's, according to John, all you've got to believe, right? Almost every religion believes that Jesus existed. Muslims believe in Jesus. They believe he was the prophet. Excuse me. Gandhi, a Hindu, took his teachings of nonviolence from Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses believed there was a Jesus, but he did not rise in bodily form. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. Many of our founding fathers were deists. The Jeffersonian Bible, I mentioned it many times. It's about that thick. He took everything in the four Gospels, any miracles, the virgin birth, the resurrection, all of that, took scissors and cut it out. All was left were the Beatitude, Sermon on the Mount, those things. Okay, like I said, you could read it in 15 minutes. Okay? He believed Jesus, but what I call Thomas Jefferson a Christian? Absolutely not. Not by what Paul says we have to be, right? So they believe that Jesus came. Okay, but they don't get into the crux of the belief of what it takes to be saved. Now, it's important at this. He says Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The Messiah, Christ. They were to believe that the Messiah had come. Okay? He was the promised king and Messiah, who was prophesied to redeem Israel. The Christ also means the anointed one. Jesus was the minister, as Paul said, unto the circumcision. He came to his own, and his own received him not. His ministry on earth was to Israel. And this is the way he's recognized in John. Remember, John was the beloved disciple. He loved Jesus. Jesus loved him. Laid his head on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. He was with Jesus every step for 3 years, and everything he said stuck in John's head like glue. Okay? But in John, you find no mention of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at some of the stuff John said that came straight from Jesus' ministry. Okay? Turn to Matthew 16. 13 through 17. So John is big on believing that Jesus is the Messiah, which he was. But John is saying you've got to believe that the Messiah came. We're in the age of grace. Our question is not on whether or not the Messiah came to earth. Our question, as Benford, and I mention it every Sunday, Benford, what have you done with the finished work of the cross? That's what it comes down to. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. I want you to look at all the times Jesus asked, who am I? And he gets the right answer. But it's not the answer we would give today. Now when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. They believe, these people believe the same thing the Muslims believe, Jesus' prophet. Okay? They believed he was there. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? So Simon Peter says, you're the resurrected Christ that went to the cross and died for our sins, right? Absolutely not. How could he know? It's not even happened yet. Okay? He says, you are the Christ. The Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And so did Jesus tell him, boy, you really screwed that one up. No. You're exactly right. That was the answer he wanted. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, became flesh. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, became flesh and blood, did not reveal this to you. But my Father who is in heaven, the Father, the Spirit, revealed that to him. That was the right answer. He was the Messiah. That's what Jesus came to save Israel. He was the prophesied Messiah, the Son of God. That's what they had to accept. Why did they take him to Pilate? Well, he's blasphemed. He says he's the Son of God. What did they put on the cross? King of the Jews. Right? So it went directly against Caesar. So the blasphemy was what the Jews accused him of, but in the end, Rome saw him as an enemy to Caesar because he proclaimed to be the king. There's no mention of the death, no mention of the burial, no mention of the resurrection, but how could there be? It hadn't happened yet. Peter was correct, he wasn't wrong, and even when Jesus was told him he was going to the cross, it said in the scripture, they had no idea what he was talking about. At the end, when it came time, they did not know what he was talking about. And then what about the Sunday? They go to the grave. Okay? That morning, they're going with spices. They're not looking for it. He told them on the third day. They didn't have it. It wasn't unbelief. They didn't have a clue what he was talking about. They went to put spices on the body. And then when the women left and said, what did they say? You've stolen my Lord. And then the disciples come, they don't believe it. Okay? They didn't believe it because that wasn't what they were asking. It had not been revealed to them by the Lord. It was revealed that he was the Messiah. Turn to John 11. John 11, 23 through 27. Now, you're going to hear Martha repeat verbatim what John said in 1 John 1. John 11, 23 through 27. So Jesus said to her, now remember, this is after Lazarus has died, right? Your brother will rise from the dead. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. So that's good. She believed in the resurrection, believed in Jesus. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Well, what did she say? Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and He who comes into the world. What First John says, if you believe that He has come, that He's come to the world, then that's what you're right. That's what you're to believe. Exactly what Martha says. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and you are He who comes into the world. First John says, by this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come, what? Into the world, into flesh, is from God. So he's repeating exactly what Martha said. Turn to John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. I'm not picking out just one verse and trying to make a topic of it. I've got them for days. You can't pick and just take one verse and try to put together a what you believe. That's what a lot of people do. Well, this verse says this, and I don't even know if it says it or not. Sometimes it's a reach on what they think it says. But there's so much here, if you'll rightfully divide, about what they were to believe and what we're to believe now in 2026 as members of the body of Christ. John chapter 1, 40 through 42. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him, now we're talking about John the Baptist. Now John the Baptist was an example of the law. He came and preached to Israel about their sins, to convict them of their sins, and said, I can't forgive you, but there's one on the way, the Messiah, who will. The Messiah's here, okay? So, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, what did he say? We have found the Messiah. There was nothing there that was foreign to any of them. They knew the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament. They knew what the Messiah was. They knew every bit of it. So there was none. What's a Messiah? What are you talking about? None of that. They knew exactly what he was talking about. Okay? We have found a Messiah, which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are the Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. So that's how Peter came to become a disciple. He was looking for the Christ, and he believed that Jesus was the Christ. Turn to John chapter 4. There's all kinds of examples. John chapter 4, 25 through 30. The woman at the well. Okay. John 4, 25 through 30. So the woman said to him, Jesus, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. He didn't have to go to the temple and talk to some priest, you know, or the pastor at First Baptist Church or any of those. This is a woman drawing just the average Joe, or Josephine, I guess you would say, at the well, getting water. And they strike up a conversation, and she says, I know the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. So he's going to let us know, right? And Jesus said to her, I am he. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. The one speaking to you, and at this point his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, what are you seeking? Or why are you speaking with her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the people, come see a man that told me all the things that I had ever done. Is he not the Christ? Is he? This is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. This is the prophesied one. This is the one that we've been waiting on. They left the city and were coming to see him. The Messiah was here and they wanted to see him. Okay? So, the requirement was to accept Jesus as the Messiah. Now, why is that important? You say, what in the world has that got to do with us? There is so much confusion out there about how to be saved. About, and they may not even call it saved. How to become in a relationship with Jesus Christ. They may not even call it that. How to become a follower of God. There are all kinds, and we're not even getting into the denominations. There are so many cults and offbeat brands out there who believe that they are the group and just them that are followers of God. Okay? And they believe something totally different than what we believe. And they base it on things that they can find in the Bible. And they have people so confused and so warped and so twisted around it, and people don't rightfully divide. We need to know. If somebody tells you, I believe in Jesus, I'm good. Says all I got to do is believe he came. I believe he came. That ain't enough. And we've got so much scripture to prove that. Okay? Now, let's look at some other things John said in 1 John. And this may be some ammunition for later on. So we said 1 John 4:2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. That was important for them. That was the right thing. That's what we just read. Okay, that's what we opened up with. Turn on down in that chapter, 1 John, and go to verse 15. 1 John 4, verse 15. Now let me say this, like I said, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I don't know how you can accept him as Savior. There may be some way I don't know about. But I am trusting, because Jesus was Savior, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, that he could raise from the dead. That's what my whole, guys, when I die, they bury me. I'm not till Jesus comes. I'm not going to be out there in 3 days. Okay? That's not going to happen. I'm not going to raise up at Frank's down at the river and fry fish with them. That's not going to happen. Okay? Jesus rose from the dead because he was the Son of God. He had that power. Right? 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. So, if you visited somebody and they were on their deathbed and you said, look, I'm really worried about your spiritual situation. I want you to go to heaven. What do you believe? And they said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Would you feel good about that? If they said, well, I believe Jesus is the Messiah, would you feel good about that? No. You want the proclamation that they've accepted him as Savior. That's what we're to believe, right? Turn to 1 John chapter 5. Go ahead one chapter. 1 who believes that Jesus is the Christ. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God. That's what they, once again, they were not wrong. He was not wrong. That's what they were instructed to believe. Come straight from Jesus' ministry. That's what they were to believe. Okay? So I'm not being critical at all of John. And everyone who loves the Father loves the child born of him. I can agree with that. Okay? Now, go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. I'm telling you this, all of this to say this, you need to know what you believe. Right, Benford? I knew Benford had my back. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Okay? Brother Leo or somebody said in here once, he knew they knew somebody and spoke to him, and he said, well, I'm going to go to heaven when I die because I keep all the commandments. I've never broken one. Right? He says, I keep the commandments. Better man than I am. This is more of the kingdom gospel. Keeping the commandments. Now, that's what they were instructed to do. Keep the commandments. Not only do you believe in the Messiah, you keep the commandments. We know what happened. If you believed in Messiah and you went out and sinned and you broke one of the commandments, too bad. Jesus said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. And that's the way they believed the Messiah. And then they had all this hanging over them. Okay? Straight from the kingdom gospel, Jesus' gospel and ministry. Turn to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, 16 and 17. John didn't make it up. He heard it. Remember? He was with him for 3 years. Like Patsy and Jim Pope. You never saw one unless you saw another. Sorry, Jim. All right. Matthew 19, 16 through 17. And someone came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? So, did Jesus say, you've got to believe that I died for your sins? Okay? You've got to believe that I died for, that you're a sinner. I died for your sins. You're sorry for that. You're going to put your faith in my death, burial, and resurrection, and you're going to become a Christian. Is that what he said? No. He said, why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good, but if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. That's what Jesus said. John heard him say it, and John regurgitated it. Okay? That's what he believed. That's what they were to do. Once again, John was not wrong. Okay? But we are in a different situation in the body. What does Paul say about the commandments? Go to Romans 7, 6. Romans 7, verse 6. What's Paul say about the commandments? Now, does this mean we go out and do whatever we want to do? Absolutely not. But I don't have perfection. I don't have something that I can't do. As Peter said in Acts 15, why do we put a yoke around our neck that our forefathers couldn't even keep? Right? Romans 7, verse 6. But now you have been released from the law. Like I said, it doesn't mean we do whatever we want to do. But it's keeping every bit of that perfectly and living a perfect life and all that. That's not what it's talking about. That's not grace through faith. That's not the liberty we have as Christians. We've died. Having died to that, by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. You know, you could, excuse me, you could, if you wore clothes that were made up of two different fabrics, you were breaking the law, right? And there were a lot of things in the law that to us, in this day and age that we live in, sounds, you know, we can't even relate to it. So that's not for us. I want to show you one more thing. Now, John wasn't the only one who believed that. Turn to Acts 8. Turn to Acts 8. 36 and 37. This is the Ethiopian eunuch. We all know the story. Philip was directed to go minister to him. He finds him sitting in a chariot. He's reading the scriptures. Philip says, "Do you know what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I know unless I have someone to tell me? I want to know, but I don't know." Acts 8, 36 through 37. So he asks, after he presents the scriptures to him, "I want to be baptized. Can I be baptized?" And Philip said, verse 36 and 37, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And what does the eunuch say? And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he took him and baptized him. That was enough. That was what he was to believe. But things are getting ready to change one chapter later. Go to Acts 9. Acts 9. Whole new ball game now, Dave. Whole new ball game, right? Getting ready to, things are going to change. So look at Acts 9, 1 through 5. So Saul, who was Paul, and we know what he did. He persecuted the church. Still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, whether men or women, he might bring them in shackles to Jerusalem. So he's arresting, torturing, consenting to their death. Any believing, I wouldn't call them Christians. I would call them believing Jewish people who believed in Jesus as the Messiah. Okay? That's what they were to believe. No belief yet in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Right? Now, as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." So Jesus had come, right? There was no mention of Jesus yet that he had died and rose for Paul's sins. That was never mentioned. Only that he is Jesus. He is the Messiah. Jesus is risen. That is Paul, all Paul knew at the time. And that is all that was required of Paul for salvation. To accept Jesus, that he was who he said he was. Now, go down to verse 19 through 22. 19 through 22. So here's Saul. And here's this guy who had been trying to kill all these people. And the next thing you know, he shows up in the synagogue and he believes what they believe. And he's got behind the pulpit and took over, kid. Now, for several days, he was with the disciples who he was trying to kill in Damascus. Remember, the road to Damascus. He didn't turn around and go somewhere else. He went where he intended to start out. And immediately, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, "Is this not the one who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. He proved that Jesus was the Messiah. No mention yet of the death, burial, and resurrection. Number one, he believed everything the apostles believed and was preaching the same thing the apostles believed. Paul was a very learned, intelligent, brilliant man. He knew. And number two, this is not what Paul preached after Acts 9. The next time you see Paul on the scene, it's going to be something totally different after 3 years that he's away. Now, contrast that to this. Go to Acts 17, 1 through 3. Let's take a look at just a few things of what Paul believed and what Paul tells us. Now be done. Acts 17, 1 through 3. contrast what Paul said in Acts 9 to what Paul said out on his missionary journeys. Now, when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was there was a synagogue of the Jews. So the first thing Paul does, when you say he's a minister to the Gentiles, I like to say minister to the body, because he never did give up on his Jewish brothers and sisters. He'd go to a town, that's the first place he'd go, the synagogue. And according to Paul's custom, he did this everywhere he went, he visited them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, and saying, "This is Jesus who I am proclaiming to you is the Christ." So when he went to the synagogues with his Jewish family, okay, his kindred spirits, he told them, "Christ is risen. He's not dead. He is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. This is who he is." Okay? But he mentions the resurrection. That's key. But go to Romans 10. What does he say to the body? And you and I are in the body of Christ. You say, what's this body of Christ? The second we're saved, the second we become believers, we join the body of Christ. That second. Okay? That's how God recognizes us. So Romans 10, 8 through 11. How am I saved? How do I know I'm saved? Well, Romans 10, 8 through 11 tells us. And you're not going to find one thing about going through a bunch of classes and about doing this and doing that and doing the other. Romans 10, 8 through 11. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we're preaching. What is it? If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. Now this could have been done before the resurrection. That's what they did. Jesus was Lord. He was Son of God, right? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. I confess and I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He died for my sins. He went to the cross. He went to the grave. He rose from the dead. Now, this is the Romans road. It's familiar to a lot of you. Turn to Romans 2. I want to throw this in right quick. Paul believed it and I believed it. Paul had enough faith in it to say this in Romans 2:16. On the day according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of mankind through Jesus Christ. Paul says, we're not going to be judged on the things you think, a lot of people think we're going to be judged on, how good a citizen we were. But we're nice to people, if we turned the other cheek, those, no. He said, we're going to be judged according to whether or not you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what everybody's going to be judged by. Paul says, my gospel's clear. Here's what my gospel is, how you're saved, 1 Corinthians 15, and the world's going to be judged by it. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn on back to 1 Corinthians 15. And go down to verse 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 15, I've got three more here to read, and we'll be done. And I'll save you the summaries in between. First Corinthians 15, 13 through 14. Got off the Romans road a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15, 13 through 14. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, Then not even Christ has been raised. So if there's no resurrection and Christ has not been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. So if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, folks, you might as well lay in bed till 4 o'clock on Sunday. Don't ever come to church again. Don't read your Bible. Don't do anything. I mean, you're just wasting your time. Jesus didn't raise from the grave. Okay? Our preaching is in vain. Your faith is in vain. Okay? Look at 16 through 19. For if the dead are not raised, and not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. But hold on, I thought all I had to do was believe that Christ came to earth. We didn't get into this raising from the dead stuff. Okay? The body of Christ in Waynesboro, Tennessee, March 1st, 2026, you are to believe that Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave. Okay? Physically. Okay? Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. You know, Dwayne back there, he knows he's going to see his mom again, but if Jesus hasn't raised from the grave, we don't have that hope. If we have hoped in Christ only in this life, we are of all men most miserable. What's that saying? If all I have is Jesus, 3 years of ministry, I'm of all men most miserable, most pitied. I have to have the resurrection. It has to be there. And if it's not there, I don't have a chance. Okay? Turn to Romans 6. Last one. Romans 6. Romans 6, 3 through 5. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? And remember here, when we talk about baptism, we've covered this before. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ the second we give our hearts to the Lord, the second we believe. Okay, that's a better way of putting it. That second, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. This is not going out to the creek and getting dumped. Okay? Because that's saying then that you have to have that to be saved. And there's denominations believe that. Okay? I believed in this for my salvation, and I'm immediately baptized into his death, into the body. Therefore, if we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we may walk in the newness of life. If I believe that Christ rose from the grave, and I've accepted that for my salvation, it said I have a newness in life, I'm that new man, that new creature that the Bible speaks of. If I don't believe it, and I don't base my salvation on his resurrection, I'm still the old man. Nothing's changed. Okay? For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. I put every ounce of faith that I have that Jesus is alive today. He died. He died a physical death, but he is alive. And he is at the right hand of the Father. And when I pray to him, he's making intercession to God. He's involved in our lives. He knows everything going on in our lives, every situation. He's concerned for what you're concerned about. He cares for what you care about. But most importantly, when I die, or when the Lord comes back, I'm going to go to heaven and be with him, because he's the only way. I don't believe in something else, some other religion, Buddha, Muhammad, whoever. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I don't put my faith in any of that. Jesus Christ is the only way to a relationship with God. And that is what I put my faith in, the risen Lord, the risen Christ, my Savior. Martha Jo, if you'll come and play, please.